morning.
Though I still love him and wander away, still he does love me wherever I stray. That's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about the parable of the lost son, also known as the parable of the two sons, also known as the parable of the prodigal son. Been used in many applications throughout life. Some hellraisers use it as a prodigal son, they are. And my father once told me that to know your audience when you speak. So having him said that to me, I'm going to give an introduction to the parable. As we looked last time when I preached at the parable of the four soils, that Jesus said that how will you understand all the parables if you don't understand this parable? So the parable of the four soils is obviously a parable that reveals understanding of all parables. There's a couple interpretations of the parable of the lost son or the prodigal son, and one would be that he leaves his home and he goes off into this far land and he lives a riotous life, and then he gets saved in the pig pen, and then he comes home and then his father gives him a ring and he gives him a robe, and the brother has a Pharisee attitude, and this is one of the interpretations of that parable. Reason I'm giving the introductions, because some people here I don't know. And then the other interpretation of this parable, which is the one I hold to, and most people do, is this parable is to believers. These believers are under the same household as the father, and a believer strays away, still he doth love me wherever I stray. Back to his dear loving arms would I flee when I remember Jesus loves me. It was a perfect song for this. So that's what this parable really means. It's believers, one strays away and wastes his reward, wastes his blessing, wastes his portion on riotous living in the world. And he comes to himself and returns back home. And we see the other brother there, who's been faithfully working, has a little self-righteous attitude there. So we see that he gets a checkup also. But he does not lose a reward, the older brother. The younger brother does, but he still comes back after this riotous living. And he is welcomed back with his father into fellowship. So it's about believers straying from fellowship. That's what it really is. And keeping that in mind, we'll go through this parable. We're going to go through the whole parable and just break it down verse by verse. The parable of the prodigal son reminded of that. I can identify with this parable very well in my life. And I have suggestions to believers out there. Don't try to be the prodigal son or the prodigal daughter, because there are serious consequences for being a prodigal. There are serious consequences for being a prodigal. You can lose your reward in the kingdom to come. You may get taken out of here early in your life, and you may not ever come back to the Lord. So there's very dangerous things for living a prodigal life. And I suggest that if you are in the safety and the shelter of these four walls, you remain here. And that is lest you move for another career or marriage and take you to another place. But always stay in these four walls. There are safety in the four walls. And with your Heavenly Father. So let's just open in prayer. Our Father, we do give thanks for this word of God. And we look at this parable. And we're going to help with the Holy Spirit to glean from it. And we pray that it can be applied to our lives as we grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So let's go to Luke 15, verse 11, and we'll look at the parable of the prodigal lost son, the two sons. Luke 15, and I'll start reading in verse 11. This is Jesus speaking. Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all there, arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave anything to him. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to eat or to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise, go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servant, bring out the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this was my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field, and he had came and drew near the house and heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatty calf. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you. I have never transgressed your commandments at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came with his livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatty calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is now found. So we'll go through this parable and we'll break it down and we'll look at it. We're going to go verse by verse through the whole parable and look at it. As I already gave you an introduction to the parable, there's two believers here. One of them says, the younger says, give me thy portion. In verse 12, he says, give me thy portion that's coming to me. So he divides it up and gives it to both of them. And we see he leaves. What we see here is, God will give you what you want. If you want your life, you're going to get it. Because you see, the Father divides the portions up between the two, and he gives it to him. He will stand out of your way so you can live the life you want to live. He's not going to get in the way of your life if you want to live the way you want to live. He says, give me my portion. He divides it up to them. What an insult this younger son has. He says, give me my portion that I may go live my life the way I want to. He treats his father like he's dead. You don't receive an inheritance until your family members are dead. But he treats his father as if he's dead. And how many believers treat their father as he's dead? They treat God as he's dead Monday through Friday, and Saturday, and then here comes Sunday, and all of a sudden he's alive again. They want the blessings of the life. They want the portions of the life. They want all the inheritance that God will give them, no sickness, all the money they can have, good life, but yet they want to live as if though he was dead. Well, it goes on to say in verse 13, not many days later. Well, it doesn't take long for a Christian to do their own will, does it? We see he wants his possessions, he gathers his possessions, he packs up everything he owns, and he's gone. With all the money, all the possessions, and off he goes. Not planning on helping a brother or a sister that may be in need of some financial benefits that he just received. Free of charge, may I tell you. This is an inheritance. Remember, the blessings of God are free to you. They don't cost you nothing. Or he doesn't stop by his local assembly that he grew up in, his chapel, and see if they need a little financial help. But he journeys off to some faraway land. And some believers take their inheritance for granted and they waste it. They move away from the chapel they grow up in. They go off and seek some long-lost dream. How many people you know that do that? They want to have glory to their name. Seeking these long-lost dreams, and years later, they drift back in, hopefully, by God's grace. Or there's the other ones who come to the chapel, serve the Christian life all their life, and then they retire from it. 65, they retire from their job, they pack up, they move away, and they live in some faraway land retired and never even think about their old assembly and the old saints and the young ones that have been born and growing up, how old they are. I wonder how they're doing. I wonder if they've drifted off. They move away to some faraway land and enjoy their inheritance. On possessions and selfish living. There's lots of Christians like that. Remember, the parable is to teach believers how to live a victorious life. Verse 14, when he had spent everything, there comes a time in a Christian's life away from the Father that you have spent all your resources. You become spiritually bankrupt. It comes like to the point in verse 14, there is like a famine in the land. And that's how it is out there out of fellowship without the Lord. There's a famine in the land. Your life is dry. It is deserted. It is hopeless. And it is helpless when you're out of fellowship with the Lord. You experience spiritual starvation, as this man was experiencing. And he began to want. This is what the flesh does every single time it's out of fellowship with the Lord. It begins to want. It starts to crave the resources, the material things. It has to do what it has to do to feed that flesh. Because you're out of fellowship. You've left the peace that passes all understanding, but you resort to your fleshly cravings and the lusts of your mind. And this is what he does. He begins to want. He's wanting material things. He's already blown them all. He wants to have them back again. He's wanting the pleasures he had. They're gone now. His spiritual resources are gone. That's what happens when you're away from the Lord and the fellowship, and it dries up. You're left in a deserted land. See the children of Israel like that, don't we? Wandering around 40 years in a dry place. So that's what happens when we fall out of fellowship with the Lord and our resources are gone. We've experienced spiritual starvation and we begin to want. But the Lord says he is our shepherd and we shall not want. He will make us to lie down. And when we're away from the Lord and astray, he will make you lie down. And he will do that to bring you back to him. Well, we see this man finds himself in a bad situation in verse 15. So what does he do? He goes and joins himself as a citizen to that country. Notice he's not from that country. He's from his father's country. He's a Christian. He's from the city whose builder has foundation and maker is God. That's who he's from. He has joined himself to the world. And the world does what it does best to a Christian. It puts the Christian in the worst positions. It puts him in places like bars, things like drugs. It puts you in selfish ambitions if you're not doing these things. The world will put you in the high life. This is what it offers you. The high life. This is what Satan says. Bow down and worship me, and I will give you the glory in all these kingdoms. The high life. But behind the high life, and after the spiritual starvation sets in, and all your spiritual resources have been sucked out of you by the world, you will wind up where this man did, in the pig pen. This is where you wind up, in the pig pen. And as this young Jewish boy, who probably never even touched a piece of pork, let alone been around a pig, due to his religious upbringing, finds himself in a faraway land, right in the middle of the pig pen. Not only feeding these pigs, look at verse 16, but wanting to eat what they had. Oh, how far a Christian falls when he's out of fellowship with his Lord. We see this man is the most miserable man, the most miserable person right now in the pig pen. The pigs aren't miserable. They're pigs. But the Christian is a miserable man. And outside of the fellowship of God and your Heavenly Father and myself, we will wind up most miserable. In the pig pen. And it says, and no one gave to him. He's in a faraway land, in a pig pen, spent all of his resources, all of his friends are gone now. Remember, when he went to this land, he had lots of possessions, so he had lots of friends. Now his friends are gone. He's in the pig pen, and no man gave to him. Why do we think that the world is going to give us what we want? Why do we think that? We all think that. If you don't get anything out of this message today, listen very carefully. Because this is what I want you to take out of it. The world will never give you what you want. Never. Never. The world will never give you what you want or what you need. No man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, this is biblical repentance here, folks. Biblical repentance, a change of mind about your sins. This man had a change of mind about his sinful life. He already was a believer. How many of my servants of my father's have bread enough to spare? Verse 17. He realizes in the middle of a pig pen, away from his father, spent everything he's had, been out of fellowship with him for we don't know how long this story is. But he still realizes that he is his father's son. So I don't know where these guys come off with this parable, where they interpret. And this is a great thing for you to understand. If you're on the fence out in the world, you are a heir to your father. Look at the assurance this passage. Notice that he is in the lowest state and never forgets that he is his father's son. And I want to tell you, if you've trusted Jesus today for the gift of eternal life, if you have believed that he has died in your place on the cross of Calvary, he has paid your debt, you have been born again, and you are an heir to the very Father of heaven. And don't you ever forget that. Having a good grasp on your position as an heir, heir to the throne, is uttermost important for a Christian foundation. You have to have it. You have to have assurance that you are a son of God's. Because we're going to see what the devil's going to do to you in a minute here if you don't. Notice his father's servants have blessings overflowing. And he knows they will share. No man gave to him. But in his father's house, they have blessings overflowing. And you have blessings overflowing because you're a child of God's. And they will share. The world's not going to share. They don't have blessings. They have material possessions. Remember that. The blessings of being in the family of God. Think about him. He's thinking about him. Don't stray off, and then you think about him. Verse 18, he says to himself, I will arise and say, I have sinned against heaven and before you. If only he could have stopped here. He's on the right track. In verse 19, he goes on and says, but he goes on and says, he is not good enough to be his son. See, Satan tries to make the believer feel if he can't maintain his good behavior, then you lose your privilege as a son. You're always a son, even though your behavior gets slipped up. He says he arose and he went to his father's house, which leads to a question. Are you out of fellowship today with the Father? If you are, you need to rise and go to your father's house, just as he did. You need to confess your sin, just as he did. In verse 21, tell him you're sorry. None of us are worthy to be called the son of him. But thanks to Jesus for paying our sin's heavy load, we are heirs. We are sons of the Most High. You see, because repentance, verse 22, restores complete fellowship. This is what verse 22 is teaching. He sees his father sees him from afar off, and what does he do? He comes to him and he says, I'm not worthy to be your son, I'm not all this. Never says I'll be your hired hand, though. The father kisses him and he gives him a robe. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is your robe. You've been in the filthy pig pen of this world. Confess your sins to the Lord. He will cleanse your sins from all unrighteousness and put a robe back on you. Then he gives you a ring, puts the ring on your finger. The fellowship is reunited now. The ring signifies you're an heir of Christ. You're a son. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. This is what he gives him. And then he gives him a pair of shoes. He's been in the pig pen walking around in the dung of this world, and we see that he gives him a pair of new shoes. If we confess our sins, the blood of Jesus cleanses us and continuously cleanses us as we walk in the light, as he is in the light. He gives us a new start. Fellowship is restored, and you have a new start. You have fellowship again. Look at verse 23. Joy and harmony brings pleasure to your soul. He says, bring the fatty calf and let's slay it and let's party. The fatty calf is a reminder of how this fellowship all came about anyways. By the Lord Jesus, who gave his life a ransom for you and me, that we can have fellowship with God, because we were children of wrath, even as others are today. If you're not born again today, which means if you don't have eternal life, you need to confess to the Lord that you need him for the gift of eternal life. Because you cannot get eternal life by works on your own. And you can enter into a relationship with him to bring the fatty calf that we may make merry, remembering the Lord as we did this morning. Today we had the fatty calf brought out. The Lord Jesus, as we broke bread and took wine and remembered how we were and how we are now by the life and death of our Lord Jesus. Verse 24, my son was dead. Not that he was physically dead. Not that he was spiritually dead. He was so far out of fellowship with his father that it was as he was lost complete contact with him. That is, if he was dead. Do you know Christians like that? So far away from the Father as if they were dead. This man did. You lost contact with the Lord. You feel like you don't know him. Verse 25, the older brother was in the field. The older brother got his portion too. Remember it says, he gave the portions unto them. He didn't spend his portion in riotous living. He stayed. He worked for his father. That brings up another point. Some of us can be in the grind here, working it out, or wherever you fellowship at. There's lessons to be learned here too. But there's also blessings to be learned in lessons. He asked his servant, one of his father's servants, what's going on? Notice that the servant knew who he was. He knew that he was an heir. He says, your brother has came home, and your father is celebrating that he made it alive. You know, when a straying Christian comes back to the assembly, we're to be rejoiceful. We're not to get angry when we see them getting blessed, as verse 28 says. But the brother was angry and he would not go into the celebration. We don't want to get jealous when we see another brother or a sister getting blessed after they've been out into the world and they come back and God starts to bless them. We don't want to get angry like he does. We want to come in and partake in the joy of the fellowship they have came back to. This is very important for us who are in the grind here working. Because there's people who come back in. Verse 29, the father begged the son to come in. But the son said, yo, have I not served you many years? Do we find ourselves telling God how much we've done for him and how long we've done it? We can do this now as we serve the Lord a lot. Then he goes on to say, I've never transgressed your commandments. Start to get a self-righteous attitude as we serve the Lord sometimes. We got to make sure this doesn't happen. I've never transgressed your commandments. Sounds like he's stretching it there. Sometimes we can get self-righteous when we get a couple bad habits under control or maybe a routine down for the Lord. We'll look down on a weaker brother who's out of fellowship with the Lord and demand a greater blessing from the Lord. We can demand it sometimes with our self-righteous Pharisaical attitudes as we serve in the grind. He goes on to say to his father, but as soon as your son comes, who wasted his living with harlots, he says to his father, your son. He doesn't refer to him as my brother. How often do Christians disassociate themselves with others over their behavior? We don't want to be like that. And then falsely accuse him. We do that sometimes. We disassociate ourselves from believers that are walking astray. And then we start to add on to the stories of their life. He says they were with harlots. The scripture doesn't say he was with harlots. It says he lived a riotous life. That could mean anything. But what it does not say is that he was with harlots. And that's what we don't want to do. We don't want to falsely accuse our brothers and sisters as they go off into their stray mode. We want to bring them back, as it says, and cover a multitude of sins. But now it's the father's turn to talk. And he says to the older son, who was faithful to him, but listen to the father. He says, yo, haven't you always been with me? Even though this son had the wrong self-righteous attitude, his father acknowledges his faithful service. And he says, all that I have is yours. See, he stayed in the grind and he worked for the father. He didn't waste his possession. So he receives a full inheritance. We see that the other son has a party for him in his restoration of his fellowship. But he does not get any more inheritance. And that's a reminder for us. We want to keep that in mind. You waste your life that the Lord has given you and your blessings on the world. You do not receive a full reward in heaven, in the kingdom to come. What all these parables are teaching about anyway is the kingdom to come. We have to be like that. We want to make sure that we don't get self-righteous over the straying brother, but rejoice with him. We need to have compassion on weaker Christians when they stray. From the chapel or the ministry, not be too judgmental. May the Lord help us to do this as we serve him. Those of you who, or if there's anyone here who has not entered a relationship with the Father, you must come through the blood of the Lord Jesus. Ask him for the gift of eternal life. It will be freely given unto you. Just as we close, a couple pointers here, to be careful of straying away from him and your church family. It's dangerous. Don't waste your blessing on things of the world. Watch wanting the pleasures of the world. They are nothing but a famine in a dry land. If we do stray from our Lord, we need to repent quickly and ask for forgiveness and come back to your home assembly, come back to your Bible studies as quickly as possible. And don't look down on a weaker brother or a sister who stray away, but come in and draw into them and win them back to the Lord. And when they do come back, rejoice with them. Don't get haughty as the older brother did with a self-righteous attitude. Be reminded that you weren't so lovely when he saved you. Let us close. Father, we give thanks for this little parable here that the Lord gives us to learn how to live a Christian life victoriously. And we thank you for the warning signs of things when we stray away from you. There's dangerous things ahead for the straying Christian. There's consequences even in the heavenly kingdom as we stand before our Lord and give an account of the blessings he has bestowed upon us. Will we waste them with riotous living, selfish pleasures, or will we
stay close to him and learn and reap much benefits off our rewards and gain 10 to 100-fold. We ask that you would bless the kids downstairs. We thank you for the little ministries you give us in our lives. And may we be faithful with them. Pray for those who are sick and set aside. Think of the widows. We draw near to them. We pray for your word as it goes forth this week to be life and love in our hearts. And we just thank you again for our Lord Jesus, who came and left the splendor of heaven and a divine lifestyle that we can't imagine, and came to a place that he had created, to beings he had created, who rebelled against him with a free will, and he rubbed shoulders with them, and they treated him so cruelly, to show the manifestation of sin in the heart of man. As they nailed him, the sinless one, the spotless Lamb of God, on the tree. And having been nailed there, he still, in his sinless state and loving heart, said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." We're so thankful, Father, that God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, anybody in this room or anybody in this world, believes in him has everlasting life the moment they believe in him for it, and shall not perish, but is granted the gift of eternal life. We thank you now for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Your water? Okay. Hey, Ray.
seen a few.